Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
Tom?
Yes?
This is episode 228, top of the day to you.
Hello. I thought we were closer to 230, but 228, that's all right.
And we get, it is getting closer. Week by week.
Week by week. How time flies.
Absolutely. And how the seasons are changing. I was at training last night and there was steam coming off people and out of their mouths. And that's when you know, you're like, oh, okay. Well, yeah.
For me,
winter's coming.
I've gotten back into the polyester clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wear that through summer.
Can't do that in summer.
Too hot, but we're finally back there for the comfy, crazy pants and stuff.
I haven't put the heater on yet at home.
Oh, okay, we've got the heater on.
You've done that?
Overnight. We've got a little one.
Yeah, okay.
She's got a little one. She doesn't want to sleep with socks or pants on. Put on the pajamas and tries to rip them off.
Does she do the sleeping bag?
No, sometimes. Mm. It's not worth the fight.
Oh, not a fan?
Not a fan.
Yeah, okay. Well, not a fan, not a fan. Not much more you can do about that.
But you know what you can do about that?
What?
Bloody jump in the news car, because we've got a ton of news to talk about,
aren't
we?
Oh, yeah. Also, I've got a quiz that I think you're going to make this, that I'm going to quote you, quote you for the future, pre-quote you. You're going to go, phew, all right. You know that one where you're like, okay.
All right.
No idea how this is going to go.
All right. Let's see how this rolls.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I've also got a tasty fun fact for you.
Brill, which means brilliant. If you're a cool person from the 80s? 7? I don't know. Who would say brill? Brill.
Someone English.
Just brill. Yeah. Okay. Someone from England.
Brill in it.
In it. Yeah. It's in it afterwards, isn't it?
Brill.
They're in it afterwards is like our but at the end of sentences, which is a Queenslander thing.
And I bet brill came before wicked.
Yeah, I reckon.
Because wicked was Ali G.
So wicked. Ali G. Early, like late 90s, early 2000s, when Madonna discovered him and decided that she needed him in her music video. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
That's the first time I ever saw him and I'm like,
oh, he'd been around for like 3 or 4 years by then.
Who's this bloke? Like, he's not a serious.
That's on you.
Yeah, probably.
He was big by then. He'd already had Ali G movie out.
Really?
I'm sure the movie had come out before that music video.
Maybe. I definitely watched the Ali G show with the Borat stuff.
Yeah. Borat, Bruno and all sorts of,
Yeah. Gosh, that's a long time ago.
That's late 90s.
That's frightening. Old. Yeah, that's so true. But this news isn't. That's why it's called news. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by Faking It Till You Make It, the new instructional video DVD by Walt Wincaster, man about town, bloke of the world. In a simple 23-step program, he goes through how you can create the impression that you know everything about everything all of the time and there's no need for anyone to be asking anything more regarding your credentials, experience or capabilities. This Friday night sees the triumphant return of the Pigs in Blankets eating contest, where actual pigs dress in blankets, eat sausages wrapped in vegetarian bacon because, well, you know, I mean, you get it. The pig that can eat the most in the allotted 12 minutes will win a signed poster from the 1995 film Babe and the title of the best rip-snorting eating hog. Madeline Lacey is on the hunt for folk who remember the great hopscotching event of 1985. This is when the main roads into and out of Watchersville were closed for the day. Squares with numbers in them were drawn with chalk on the bitumen, stones were tossed into elected areas on the hopscotch designs, and fun was had by all. She would like to film people who participated on the day as they retell their memories of the wonderful event. She said it's important to record these moments in our town's history so that the future youth of tomorrow will know what the world was like before the internet and how people had fun, B.I., before internet. There's only a few more sleeps till the Gilligan's Island Watch Party is held at the town hall. If you're interested and haven't bought your tickets to attend, best to get that sorted out ASAP as there's only a few seats left. For many attending, it will be the first time that they've seen the classic TV show. What will happen to the boat? Is it just a day trip where the characters visit an island called Gilligan, or is there more to it? All will be revealed on the night. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. Go on.
All right, we'll crack it open.
Go on.
We'll kick off with some Walking Dead news, which I'm sure you saw. A lot of people upset because Carol is no longer part of the Daryl and Carol spinoff that was to becoming. Melissa McBride apparently has just made the decision that, and I didn't realize this, the show is not only set either in Europe, but they're going to film it over in Europe, probably France or something like that.
Yeah.
And she's like, no.
No, I don't want to go there.
I don't want to move me or my family there. I watched what Andrew Lincoln went through being away from his family for years. I'm not going to do that. And entitled fans, as they want to do, have come out with the pitchforks and they're blaming Daryl.
Why?
I don't know.
That's a left field thing.
He's the only person, you know.
Still there.
Norman Reedus is the only other person involved in that show.
Yeah. So but couldn't blame Carol?
I don't.
Melissa? I mean, you know, like if you're going to blame someone.
AMC came out with a bit of a statement and people were like, okay. And then Jeffrey Dean Morgan weighed in and like basically held up a barbed wire bat to fans and went, oi, pull your fucking heads in.
And they did, didn't they?
They really have.
Do you reckon, like ever since you put that little acorn of a thought in my head when they announced the Negan and Maggie in New York spin-off and you were like,
fake out?
Yeah. Do you think this Carol thing might be a fake out?
No.
Are you saying that only because it was announced so long ago?
No. I think if the Carol thing was a fake out, someone would have conceded that over the last few days with how savage some of the stuff was.
Still not convinced about that Negan one. And Maggie could easily go, you know?
Yeah.
They're already setting up Negan to make amends with the boy. His name's Herschel.
His name is Herschel. Good work.
Yeah. I've got another kind of Walking Dead. It's more Fear the Walking Dead.
Sure.
Story, adjacent story. So there's a show coming to, I think it's Hulu. It's called Saint X, right? Anyway, it had an actress attached to it in its lead role and then that actress left due to creative differences.
Sure, yeah.
And now Alicia from Fear the Walking Dead is taking over the main role for this series. Now, this series is only like, I think it's 6 to 8 episodes, something like that. So it's not.
And it's a limited?
It looks like it might be limited, but people are also like, well, the end of last season's Fear the Walking Dead and the beginning of this one.
Makes it feel like she's probably on the way out.
She could be on the way out and she's just lining up new stuff. I'd forgotten she'd been there from the very beginning, first episodes.
Yep. Yeah. I think she's the only one that's there from episode one.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Reuben Blades, the guy's gone crazy.
You do in this week's episode.
Okay.
But Victor, I mean, he was.
Episode 4 or something.
Yeah, something like that. He was in those cages.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that might be the writing on the Alicia wall. And I can call her Alicia because that's her name in real life as well.
It would also make a lot of narrative thing. We know Madison is coming back. For Alicia to die in her arms as she gets back creates a whole lot of
It's an arc. It's a circle. It's a full. It's a storyline,
isn't it?
That's what it is.
Oh, it certainly is. Speaking of storylines,
yes,
we know that the 70s show is getting a sequel. You've heard of this, yes?
Yeah, I'd forgotten about this.
So it's called that 90s show.
I remember being interested because that's when I was around.
Well, they have smashed out lots of news this week. Kerr Smith and Deborah Jo Rupp, who play the parents, are now the grandparents.
Awesome.
And posted a photo of he and Kitty sitting at the table and the caption was just same shit, different decade. And I'm so excited to see them back. But even more cool big news with this is that they have successfully signed all the original cast.
Hang
apart.
On. Okay, good.
From Danny Masterson.
Yeah.
Because he's in.
He's not.
Naughty
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, that's corner. Right. That's awesome. And, you know, you've got Topher Grace, who has done a fair bit of, like, really interesting different stuff over the years.
Oh, he's an editing wizard.
Well, with yeah. The Star Wars edits. That's true. And stuff. I forgot about that. And you have Laura, who was in Orange is the New Black. Yeah. I mean, you've got the two, like, the married couple.
Yeah, Mila
and, yeah, and Ashton. And
Wilma. Valderrama.
He's done stuff as well. Like he's been, I haven't seen him for a while, but he, you know, yeah, just after it finished, he was in a lot of stuff.
He's done a lot of prank shows and that sort of stuff.
Didn't he also date Lindsay Lohan for a while?
Feels like that's a thing.
Yeah. 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 Gosh, that really does date it because that 70s show, I don't think it's really left television. I think it's always on somewhere or, you know, you easily have access to it. But if he was dating Lindsay Lohan, that was a long time ago.
Did you ever see any of that 80s show? There was a spin-off that they did. It wasn't good, but there's a whole lot of people just getting their start in that show. One of the guys, like the tall guy from It's Always Sunny is in there, the sister from Supergirl, all this like stuff that later you're like, you went on to be.
So was it only like a season or something?
Yeah. And I don't know if they even aired all the episodes. Oh, it wasn't great.
Oh, ouch.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Hey, there was a really super quick trailer. Like I'm talking, I know this is not in the trailer section, but I just want to talk about it.
That's all right.
It might have been 10 seconds tops of a Netflix animated series.
Yes.
Which is strange, right? Because aren't they cancelling everything animated, Netflix? That was the news last week.
Yeah, sure.
We're cancelling everything. We're not doing any more animated stuff. Well, you know, within reason. But this has got Sonic attached to it. In fact, it's called Prime Sonic, or Sonic Prime, sorry. And it's going to be a 24-episode series. For kids, I mean, I'm sure adults will watch it as well, but from what I saw of the trailer, it looks very much kid, you know, this is for the kids. And sit down because the synopsis is just going to blow your mind. High octane adventure where the fate of a strange new multiverse rests on the gloved hands of Sonic. So, you know, like every game.
Sure.
Yeah.
Standard operating thing.
Exactly.
Will he start out in Green Hills?
Of course he will.
Good.
Isn't that the rules?
I think so.
The last Sonic I played, I can't remember what it was called, but it was the last one.
Sure.
And you kind of go back to Green Hills a couple of times. And every time
Sonic Forces?
That's what it was called, yeah. And every time you do, you're like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. Good fun. So that is coming out sometime in 2022. That's the only release date I have. So sometime this year?
Sure. Sure. Hey, look, going from one anthropomorphic animal to a lot of anthropomorphic animals, some set photos have come out from the filming of Guardians of the Galaxy 3. People have been snapping of people going to and from set. And it appears that the team now have a uniform, which is very cool. It's not something they've really done in the past too much. But it looks like we've seen a shot of Star-Lord in there was a storyline called Annihilation, a big universe-ending event, and the Guardians were kind of conscripted into the Nova Corps and they had a uniform and they're wearing that in this.
Oh.
But even cooler than that, and we talked a few weeks ago about how they've now set a record, Guinness World Record, of the most prosthetics used in a film. And there's a bunch of shots of people as various mutated animal people. So kind of think Island of Dr. Moreau style. People walking around with chicken heads and this sort of stuff. And that's leading everyone to think that the villain for this film is going to be the High Evolutionary, who is a the comic version is really fucking convoluted, but basically he's a guy that messes with genetics constantly trying to create a new species to overtake humanity.
He's Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, but it feels like we're going to get a lot of answers about where Rocket came from.
Okay.
We might find out that this is all tied together.
This is his homeland. Maybe he doesn't know.
Correct.
Some Rocket backstory. That'd be good.
But I mean, these animal heads look crazy.
Like funny or just frightening?
Fun. Oh, kind of halfway between. Some of them are unsettling.
Yeah.
And like clearly meant to be unsettling. And some of them are like a goat man. and stuff. And it's, I don't know, it could be very funny.
I feel like there's a song called There's a Goat Man. It just sound. It seems like a...
It feels like a Tenacious D song.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Something from the 90s. Very much so. About a year ago, I discovered a brilliant show called Derry Girls.
I remember.
Yeah, set Northern Ireland in the 90s. There were some interesting 90s confusion in that you're like, you're wearing that, but that would have been early 90s and the your friend next to you is wearing something from the late 90s. But
sure.
But sure, you know, that's you're giving it a go. You're giving it a red hot go. Anyway. Season 3 is airing over in the UK and I assume Ireland as well. And I just saw a bit of a recap of an episode and I was like, oh, this has got me excited. I'm excited to see, you know, to watch this. So what one episode is it's about the mother, Mary and Aunt Sarah, in their... When they were at school, it flashes back to when they were at school in the 1970s. And apparently it hints at a long-held secret about that night 20 years prior to, you know, the 90s when Derry Girls is set. There's no – I kind of had a Google to see when we might be getting it. And I watched it on Netflix, but apparently it did originally air on SBS. So maybe if we – you know, if you want to keep an eye out on SBS or Netflix – that might be the place to find it because I think it's got a few more episodes over there. There's like all of those sort of shows, there's not many episodes in those series. So I don't know, maybe we'll get it a little bit later in the year. That'd be cool.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's a very funny show.
You know
very
what,
funny.
You know what I'm not looking forward to?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got some bad news.
Why?
There's some cancellations over at the CW, which we've been talking about for a long time because they're looking at selling themselves and they're trimming back all sorts of stuff. They cancelled Batwoman first, which I didn't keep up with.
Did it get three seasons?
Three seasons, so it was two with Ruby Rose and the only parts I ever saw of her was the crossovers.
Oh, yeah.
Episodes and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, eh. And then the bastards did it. They cancelled Legends of Tomorrow.
Yep. I saw that and I went, oh, Tom's not going to be happy.
Yeah. And it's been a while since I got punched with a cancellation. There have been ones where I've been like, oh, man, that sucks. I enjoy that show and stuff.
Yeah.
This was like, oof.
How many seasons? About seven?
Seven seasons. 110 episodes. So they got the point.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they just introduced Donald Faison as Booster Gold and there's a massive cliffhanger with the lesbian captains accidentally getting pregnant because one of them has alien DNA and she kissed her wife and in the alien that she got mixed with, that's how their species reproduce.
Right. Just kissing.
Just random shit like that. I'm so angry.
So they're not going to get the chance to ever finish that.
People are campaigning, but like you've got to give them like a 2-hour movie or something. And it sucks because every season since like season 2 or maybe 3, the finale, they've wrapped it up with a bow because they expect it to get cancelled.
Mm.
And this was the one year that they were like, we just got Donald Faison. We've bumped up. Well, the ratings we've got are great. They've been the best they've been in years. And we're a critical darling. All this sort of stuff. They were like, what? We're going hard. We're going to do a proper cliffhanger this year.
Everyone must be gutted in that cast and crew then.
The
confidence and then to have that happen.
Yep.
Is there any chance that that kind of show would be picked up anywhere else?
It can't be because of the nature of the contracts with CW, which is owned in part by Warner Brothers. It's too siloed off.
Yeah, okay.
And it has a huge cast and trying to get all of those contracts locked down again quickly somewhere else would be quite difficult.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
As I said, fingers crossed we might get a 2-hour movie out of it.
Just to tie things up.
More likely in 6 to 9 months there'll be a comic series written by a few of the writers that wraps it up. We get 5 issues of that or something. Fine.
Better than nothing?
Fine.
I can cheer you up a little bit.
Please do.
Because Kristen Wiig's busy. Alison Janney Alison Janney's busy, and Laura Dern is busy. They're all busy over on Apple Plus. They're going to do a show called American Pie. In fact, Laura Dern is producing it.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Which one's Stifler's mum?
Oh, American Pie. Mrs. American Pie, it's called.
Oh, okay, because you just said it's called American
yeah,
Pie.
Yeah, I did, didn't I? Mrs. American Pie.
Okay, but I mean, that's a bit more wholesome.
That could still easily be Stifler's mum, though.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, this is based on a book called Mrs. American Pie, and it's set in the 70s, and it will follow Kristen Wiig as she attempts to secure her seat at America's most exclusive table, the Palm Beach High Society. So you can see Laura Dern and Alison Janney, exactly the kind of characters they're going to be. Big 70s hair.
Snooty,
some sort of sequenced cat suit, or not a cat suit, like a jumpsuit kind of thing.
Cocktail held with a pinky out.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
A lot of that gear.
Definitely. And just not giving Kristen Wiig any time of day.
Yeah, a bit of white powder.
Oh, yeah, just a little bit. Just off to the discos, a little bit. So that sounds like fun.
It does sound like fun.
There'll be a
dance off in that for sure.
Oh, yeah. And the music will, of course, be Do the Hustle.
Well, speaking of musical chairs.
Yes.
There's been some shifting around of directors of different projects and stuff. Some have just left and some have been quickly replaced.
Is this just in movies or general stuff?
In movies. So John Watts, who directed the 3 Spider-Man Home trilogy.
Yep.
He was already signed by Marvel to do their Fantastic Four film next. He's throwing his hands up and he said, look, guys, I'm sorry. I need a break from the superheroics.
Mm.
I've just done the last 6-7 years in a row of it.
Time.
I need to step away and do another one. Because he'd only done 1 or 2 small films before that and then he'd done all these.
Okay.
And it makes a lot of sense. Fantastic Four is a beloved comic book property that doesn't seem to work in film, and they've had 2 separate Universal cracks at it and it hasn't stuck.
Yeah.
So, look, I get that. And Marvel and he are completely amicable about it. It's not I'm leaving Marvel. I'm still pretty keen to do more Spider-Man or something. Don't stress.
Yeah, right.
It's just like, I need a break. I can't dive into making this one work when everyone else has failed. So that kind of sucks. And then Justin Lin, who was signed to direct Fast and the Furious X and X1 or whatever they're going to call 11.
Mm-hmm.
He has left, and that sucks because he's kind of done most of the big ones, and the idea was bringing him back to finish off stuff. One last ride. So he kicked off with Tokyo Drift, which I love, and then 4, 5, the ones that got the franchise back on track and made it what it is today. And there's not been too much official reasoning behind his leaving, but apparently, like, Vin Diesel's been an extra dick at the moment.
Oh, is he being diva-ish?
He's always dangerous. Mm. The Rock aired all that dirty laundry and people were like, well, The Rock doesn't seem to feud with anybody and especially not publicly. And while we have talked about part of it could be a work, so much has come out from other people talking about Vin Diesel's behavior and difficult.
Okay.
Like he's very protective of the Fast and the Furious. And without Paul Walker around anymore, he's the sole, you know, tent pole for that entire franchise. So, of course, he's very protective of it, but apparently that can spill over into some melodramatics, showing up late to set, not knowing all his lines, apparently.
Oh, that kind.
A little bit of
like,
that.
I love this so much, but I also love not having to work too hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's all that sort of stuff. And apparently they were losing more than $1 million a day without the director on board because they're about to start filming. But Louis Leterrier has stepped in, who directed The Incredible Hulk, the one with Ed Norton, and something else that I've just forgotten.
That's okay. You can look him up. Everybody's got access to Google.
Yeah, and he does fine work with big action piece stuff that's not serious.
Wow, so that sounds like that's a bit of controversy going on over there, but it sounds like it's all going to be wrapped up and
everyone's going to make their billions.
Yeah.
They'll be fine. It's okay. And they've been to space. Where they go next,
I don't know, center of the earth or back in time. It's one or the other. Ooh. Universal has wanted a crossover between Fast and the Furious and Jurassic Park franchise for years. I'm telling you now.
That seems more for fans.
Oh, can you imagine how, like, Vin Diesel jumping a car over a T-Rex is up there with Captain America lifting the hammer of just like audience reactions.
Yeah, true.
And he, as he goes over the T-Rex, the car rolls and he's upside down and he drinks a Corona upside down, looks into the camera and goes, family. That's it. That's perfect cinema. Nothing else needs to be done with that film.
They're taking Jump the Shark to a whole new level. I think you had...
Yeah, I got one more news story and one more one trailer for you. Brilliant. The news story is very quick and you'll understand what this means more than I do. But Kylie and Jason are coming back for the Neighbours finale.
Is that especially for me?
That's for you.
Wait, finale? Is Neighbours finishing forever?
Didn't you hear this?
Oh, no, I did. I remember that.
The UK pulled the funding and the Australian government's like... Fuck that.
We can't do it.
No one watches fucking that. That's for the Brits.
Isn't that crazy, though, that it's been around for so long? It's just one of those shows that you just assume is going to be around forever. I wonder how Home and Away goes.
Fine, guess.
It must be doing better than Neighbours. It's also got that thing where it's set at a beach,
I was going to say, a lot of that is outdoors or filmed away from places and stuff, and they're not taking up expensive studio space.
Yeah, good point. They just they must be in with whatever Palm Beach's council is.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Kylie and Jason, that makes sense. Scott and Charlene, they might sing the song. What are they going to do? What are they going to do?
I hope Carl burns the place to the fucking ground.
Dr. Carl, I haven't watched it for years and years, so I'm not even sure that Charlene's family is even there. They were the Ramseys, and Scott's were the Robinsons, and
I don't know what any you're talking about is.
I think the guy who was like the boss, and he might be a little bit evil of. Lassiter's?
Paul.
Yeah, I think he might be a Robinson. With the fake leg
that grew back or something?
Didn't know any of that. That's pretty cool. He probably.
He lost a leg at some point, and I'm sure the actor just had it taped up on his bum.
That's awesome. I think he's either Jason Scott, Jason Donovan's character, Scott's brother or uncle, something like that. So that would be the family link if Paul is still there.
I hope.
Yes.
I hope, right,
mm-hmm.
that the police get called for some reason to Harold's former residence.
Yes.
And they discover that he has several bodies buried in the backyard and they have to exhume them and it causes a toxic release and they have to close the street. And that's why Neighbours ends. Good neighbors become
that's
rotting
good
dead
neighbors
corpses
become
in the ground.
Zombies. And that's when Fear the Walking Neighbors
kicks off.
Starts.
Bam.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then look, the trailer I had is for Roku, which is another streaming service that I don't have.
I've heard of
but
it, though.
I might get it. They dropped their first trailer for Weird, the Weird Al Yankovic thing.
Oh, yeah. With Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah.
Holy shit, it looks good.
I didn't see the trailer, but I saw the headline for it, that the trailer is out and it's weird.
It's so weird. It's so good. He's having the time of his life. He's like, Daniel Radcliffe is clearly having a ball.
That's so cool. I wonder how much time Weird Al spent on set. I'd like it if he was there all the time.
I think he was for all of it because he's super involved.
Nice. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. It's based on a fake autobiography he wrote.
Even better.
Because his life is so boring and he never did anything controversial, so he made up a fake story of his craziness and controversy in the 80s.
Oh, that's too good.
Sleeping with Madonna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not going to say no. She's too busy taking Instagram photographs and then filtering all of herself out of them.
Oh, I think there's some bullshit storyline with him stashing drugs and he's an accordion.
Yeah. And a lot of Hawaiian shirts, I imagine, as well.
So many good shirts. I love that man so damn much.
That did look like something that you would love and also something that I want to check out.
Yes. Yes. Hey, speaking of things that I love and that you love checking out.
Yes.
Do you want to see my fun fact?
Yes.
Have a look at this.
Whoa, that is the funnest fact around.
This fun fact is from the film Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
So what would that be, about 94?
Earlier than that. So okay. Original Ninja Turtles was, what, 1990, and mm-hmm. then 2 was 1991.
Okay.
Which is one of the things. My fun fact, though the first movie had exceeded all expectations, Golden Harvest, the producers, wasted no time greenlighting a sequel because they thought the franchise was going to burn out quickly and were surprised it had lasted as long as they did. They wanted to get the movie out in theaters as soon as possible, which is why the film came out less than a year after the first movie's release.
Right, okay.
Now, if you think back for a minute,
yeah,
that first movie was very dark, and you had Shredder and you had Casey Jones, hyper-violent, all this sort of stuff. Mm. The second movie has no Casey Jones, and there's a teenage boy who helps them out and doesn't murder anyone. And Shredder is only hinted at until the very end, and then he comes back as Super Shredder and then gets defeated in a dance battle with Vanilla Ice. Go Ninja, that's go right. Ninja, go. Go Ninja, go Ninja, go.
You know
go
what? Ninja, go Ninja, go, not only go, is go, a brilliant go, song, go. But I think I got the first two movies in my head, like I made them one film.
Sure. Well, another way you can tell them apart is in the original original 1990 film,
yeah.
The turtles' facial expressions were cable operated with all the motor servos housed in the shell.
Okay.
So if you think back, everyone looks heavy.
Yeah.
It's making them all stand back because their stuff is pulling them back. Mm. In the second film, thanks to having a bigger budget, the animatronics were much smaller and tighter and built into the face itself. And that's why at the beginning of the film, there's that sequence where they're in like a toy shop and they're fighting and there's pizza and it turns to Mikey and he does a huge grin and it's them showing off the new stuff they had. The other cool thing, the fight double for Donatello, a guy named Stephen Ho, he kept the Donatello head.
Mm.
And he became a stand-up comedian later in life and he uses the head in his act.
That's cool. Because I don't remember which of the two films, but the movies that made me, the Netflix series, mm-hmm. they did one on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and there's one, might be Michelangelo's, but there's one turtle suit from one of the movies that still exists and it's like falling apart and apparently it smells really bad.
One of them ended up on eBay a few years ago and I seriously consider it until it got up to about 600,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because Donatello, like if I was to make a pantheon, like if I was to make a team of characters I love, Donatello was probably my first pick out of anything.
Nice.
Because I got to think, am I getting Spider-Man or Deadpool? You know, there's all this who.
Yeah.
No, there's no question. Donatello, he's the brains of my crew. Fucking love that turtle man.
I just think he would have a hard time. Well, not really. I think he'd just be annoyed with Deadpool.
Oh, so much so.
Yeah.
He gets a bit exasperated.
But fair enough. Like, it's warranted.
Yeah.
Exasperation. Yeah. Warranted exasperation. That's a saying I think I've just made up.
But on the flip, I think Spidey and Donatello would get along great because they're both science nerds who use humor as a deflection.
Yes. Yes. Do you need anybody else? Just that trio might work.
Oh, probably get Soundwave in there from Transformers. The guy with the tape desk in his chest.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you can drive them around.
Yeah.
Transportation sorted.
Sorted.
Let's have a look at stuff what we've been watching.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Did you go to the movies?
I did go to the movies.
Wow.
Full disclosure, I haven't watched tons this week. It's Star Wars Day while we're recording. May the 4th be with you.
Then you.
That is the way.
It is the way.
I have spoken. And so I've been building an awful lot of Lego, Star Wars Lego, and we filled out this display. But last week, Lynn's organised a babysitter and we went out on the town and we saw Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, nice. People love this film.
I'm going to do something I don't think I've ever done before on this show. I'm not going to review it.
Huh? Sorry, I mean,
Go and see it yourself.
Okay. Can I ask you to give it a rating of between 0 and 5 Donatello masks out of how much you enjoyed it?
We're up around 5 masks.
Okay, cool.
I'm... I, I had it very built up for me.
Okay.
And it got there.
Wow.
So I'm trying not to build it up for anyone else. But I'd love to talk about it with you, but I feel like I need to give it a while for other people to see it. It's one of the, like, you know, I love a head fuck movie.
Yes.
I love a head fuck movie. Linz does not like a head fuck movie. Mm. And she walked out of the movie and said, I think that might be one of my favorite movies I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
So I just said I was not going to review it and hype it up. And now I'm already saying these
it
things.
It doesn't matter.
But that Michelle Yeoh is amazing.
Yeah.
And her husband is played by the kid that was Data.
Yeah.
And Short Round. And he's amazing. And their daughter is played by the girl who was Jubilee in the X-Men film. So there's all these people. I'm like, oh, you're here, you're here, here.
You're all big famous people from many a decade.
Oh, and again, I can't. It is really difficult to talk about this movie. And you know I love movies like Primer or things where you don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And this is that the whole way this through. Is it. And there's the most unreliable narrators I've ever come across.
Just in general, like the whole.
It's just whoever is telling the story at that moment is not necessarily the person that we're following.
Okay. And okay.
All this sort of stuff.
I do want to see it.
If you're enjoying multiversal stuff, which seems to be trickling into pop culture everywhere at the moment, this is a giant wet fish slap in the face of multiversalness.
I have heard people say, but these are people that say that they've just watched their favourite film at least twice a year. But
people like me.
No. That this is one of their favourite films of all time. It's got everything. It's like the perfect film.
I would love to talk about it in a little bit. I will circle back to it.
Do you need to go and see it again? Is it the kind of film that you need to see again
want to, for sure.
Yeah, right, okay.
I imagine there's a whole bunch of stuff that happened that I didn't realise first time around. In fact, I guarantee it.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's too much else to see. Like tonight, I'm sneaking out late because I got tickets for an advanced screening of Doctor Strange 2.
Nice. That's very good. Nathaniel, who was on a couple of weeks ago, is very excited about that too. I'm excited as well. I like Doctor Strange. I enjoyed that one. That was a good Marvel film.
Doctor Strange himself is probably the part I'm least excited for the film just because all the other stuff that we've seen is making me go, ooh.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot going on in there. Now that, I suspect that's going to be one you're going to watch a few times.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week.
Follow The Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1.
This is something that I listened to. Mm. I thought I'm going to have to listen to this audiobook and not read it because I want Philomena Kunk to read Kunk on everything.
I've read in my the book ears.
So it's like an encyclopedia. She goes through all the letters of the alphabet, just making up the most ridiculous stuff. I know Charlie Brooker, you know, he wrote a lot of it, but it's I just love the way that she delivers it.
And you can read. I've read the book of that. I got that last year.
So you heard.
So I heard her voice in my head, but audiobook would be next level.
So good. I've been using it to, because it's not an incredibly long audiobook, maybe 5.5 hours, something like that. So I've been using it on like driving home to or driving home from kind of things where you kind of like, just throw these ridiculous facts at me. I mean, some of the things that she says is just, I mean, she does that whole time thing about, you know, you've got to go and top up your time at Greenwich, you know, that kind of thing, which is like in the video, in the old.
Meridian line.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. But everything has just a tiny little fraction of truth in it, and then she mispronounces several words, and then the way she explains stuff just goes so far off, and you're like, this is very clever. And then sometimes it wraps right back around, and you go, oh, I wish I'd written that. You know those ones where you're like, oh my gosh, that was so good. I wish I was the person that it came up with that. That was so incredibly clever.
She's got such a good turn of phrase.
Oh, and the way she pronounces something, the words just in her accent, you're like, wait, what'd she say? What'd she said? It just makes it all so much funnier. So I love the fact that you have read it and that her voice carries over there.
Like, I follow her on Facebook and stuff as well, and it's the same deal of like anything she puts up, even when she's putting up as Diane Morgan, I hear it in Kunk's voice.
Yeah. I was trying to explain to a friend that I was listening to this audiobook, and I said, oh, it's Philomena Kunk. And they were like, so, and I went, oh, no, Death to 2020 and 2021. What's that? I was like, what?
Yeah.
How did you miss this part?
So she's one of the breakout characters from Screen Wipe and stuff, and just been in Brooker shows for years. But the other one is a guy named Barry Pease. Barry Pease. I can't remember. Like, that's the character's name. I can't remember the actor's name.
Yeah, right.
He didn't break out in the same way, but he comes up with some real dumb shit too. They're good.
It's the kind of stuff that when you're a writer, which I'm not, but I can see it, like, once you get into that rhythm, you can churn that stuff out so fast. You just got to have that ridiculous mindset and just be like, brrr. Like, even that Time video was, I still watch that and I'm amused. It's a good show. Good show. So you haven't been watching much else, but what else?
I've read something that I wanted to talk about briefly. I'm sure I mentioned this a while ago, but it's taken best part of 2 years to come out. 5-issue series called TMNT, so Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin. And this has been a thing that's been quite popular in comics over the last 10 years. You've had Old Man Logan, which of course got turned into the film Logan, and basically taking a character, flashing forward to the end of their life and seeing how that hero wraps things up. And in The Last Ronin, we spend the first issue not sure which of them is left, but three of the turtles were killed brutally a few years ago. Oh, at this point, I believe it's about 20 years ago, by Shredder's grandson. And Michelangelo is the one that's left, and he's been in hiding since then.
Yeah, I remember. I remember that.
We have talked about that. Well, the final issue of that finally came out last week, and I was not expecting it to hit me quite so emotionally hard, but holy shit, they stuck the ending. It goes out of its way to remind you that Ninja Turtles was never, in the comics, was never about superheroics and heroic ideals. They are assassin Ninja Turtles. They're there to kill and not afraid of doing so. And it is a brutal, brutal fight between Michelangelo dying and Shredder's grandson. And the fight itself was harsh, but then Michelangelo dies, but then there's this little coda, and it's him waking up as a teenager, and his brother's all standing there ready to harass him. Come on, get out of bed, lazy bones. We've got to get to it. And he's like, where have you guys been? And then Shredder's like, come on, my son. And then it keeps pulling back, and you slowly realize all these characters that they only just mentioned had died in the years between. They were all there waiting. It was kind of like with Lost, with that ending of them all together and moving on.
So afterlife.
So they got this little afterlife moment, and it was just done so well of having read this gritty comic to then he wakes up in the cartoon.
Yeah, nice.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
hard for shows or, you know, series like comic series to stick that landing often, because for something that you personally thoroughly enjoyed that whole thing, and for them to get the ending right for you, God, that's pretty big.
I wasn't expecting it. This is what I mean. I thought it was going to end with him becoming old Luke and training at school of ninjas and stuff like that. And it alluded that it might be heading that way, and instead it stuck to its guns and it finished the story properly. And there was another epilogue of so April O'Neil has a daughter with Casey Jones. Casey had died and stuff, and her and Casey's constant exposure to the turtles had led them to have the mutagen in their DNA. So they weren't mutates themselves, but their daughter is. And it's given her strength and this sort of stuff, and so she was training to become a ninja. But we see her at the very end, and she's feeding something, and we're like, "Oh, what's this? She's in a lab, and she's got four turtles in a humidity crib. And
nice.
She's doing experiments.
Yeah, things are about to happen. That's cool.
And it makes me go, what are they going to name them after? If we've had had four Renaissance painters,
they might go into like Romanticism, music composers.
Look. The other part that I the whole storyline felt like a really cool shout out to people who had grown up when I did of that was the Turtles then.
Yeah.
So, and you know, there's Jenica, who's the female fifth turtle that's been around for a little while now and stuff like that, but she didn't belong in the storyline and they didn't force her in.
Mm.
And I don't mean that in there's no girl turtles. What I mean is this was the end of the original story, not what's gone on in between and this sort of stuff. And it just kind of, it really just stuck to those guns. And yeah, great read. Last Ronin.
Amazing that the Turtles are still so incredibly popular. I like that.
I think since we've started Watchers,
mm.
I think there's been three different cartoon iterations on TV.
That's awesome.
It's evergreen. And they, you know, they do two series. That worked out okay. Let's give it to another animation studio and see what they do. And jump. And we've got two films on the way next year. Obviously.
And remasters of really old games or something, I think.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
There's a lot going on. Never ends. And it shouldn't.
Yes. We really quacked at the principle. Are we ducks or what? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
There's a show. Oh, firstly, I was going to talk about a show that's on Stan, but firstly, I found your show from. It's coming to Stan.
It is coming to Stan. Okay.
It's coming to Stan. I saw the trailer for it.
All right, cool, because there'd been so much chatter of when is it coming to Australia because it wasn't officially announced anywhere. Stan, cool.
That's where they're in later this month.
Great.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Well, I look forward to watching that on Stan.
Yes, that's where you'll be watching it. So I also watched a show on Stan called Minx, and it was about, well, is about a 1970s feminist kind of journalist magazine wannabe. Like, she's really into feminism. She wants to make her own magazine for feminists that kind of are counter to the American equivalent of your Women's Weekly kind of thing, you know, that kind of thing. So she goes out to this magazine expo, you know, where you go and you network and publishers meet hopefuls and all that kind of thing. Anyway, she gets a lot of knockbacks and stuff, except from a guy who owns a whole heap of pornography magazines. And he's like, I'm interested in your magazine.
Can I ask, is that Jake Johnson? Is that who's playing him? Okay, I have seen a brief trailer for this. Looks like fun.
It is fun. So obviously set in the 1970s, he's that guy and you think he's going to be really yucky and sleazy, but he's not really. He's actually just a businessman.
He's lovable.
Yeah, exactly. Giving it a go.
Yep.
But do you know what? At first I was like, wait, is that him or is that the guy from – what was the movie? Can't Hardly Wait, I think. And he was like
Ethan Embry, who was also on one episode of Walking Dead. No.
No. Let me
Peter Facinelli, the jock?
No, not the jock. Can't Hardly Wait or 10 Things I Hate About You, maybe. I'm going to have to look it up because was there a remake of 10 Things I Hate About You in 2009?
Yeah.
Nine. That's depressing. I'm just going to quickly look up the cast. Because I didn't realize that David Krumholtz looks exactly like
Jake Johnson. Yeah.
I never made that connection until this.
Sure.
Hilarious. Anyway, so he's like, I'll do your feminist magazine. I'll fund it and everything. You can have articles in there, but we're going to feature very heavily full frontal naked men. And she's like, oh, but feminism. And he's like, do you want the magazine or not? So the answer was yes. And it's them kind of coming together and there's a crew, obviously, of people who are amusing or cool or whatever. And I think I watched maybe about six episodes so far.
And you're digging it?
Yeah, it's quite fun. It kind of gives me almost Mad Men vibes,
sure,
but not as serious because Mad Men took itself very seriously. But it's that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Minx on Stan, but I'm really looking forward to From because that trailer looked good.
It looks real fun, eh?
Yeah. They're all, it didn't look like any of them were evil there on purpose. They're all stuck.
Yeah.
Cool, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into our quiz?
I kept watching Letterkenny. I think I've got seasons 8, 9, 10.
Okay.
Which is great. You got a few I also more. Discovered that Taskmaster has been added to US iTunes. So I've got like series 9, 10, 11.
You have some good shows to watch. Very good shows. It's very exciting. But not as exciting as this quiz. Which I have named Sitcom Parents' Careers.
Yeah.
Told you.
Wow. Okay.
I told you.
You knew what reaction I'd do, and I tried to fight it happening, and my eyebrows are still up from going.
So you have to match the sitcom's parent to their profession. So it's an either or, basically.
Okay.
And their sitcoms from like 40-year span. So we're going to go with Carl Winslow from Family Matters first. Do you want an either or are you feeling confident with either stab? Either or,
because my brain says, well, he's a cop.
That's the answer.
Is it?
That's the answer.
I thought he was a cop in bloody Die Hard, Reginald Ville Johnson.
He is.
Yeah, but is he also a cop on?
I think that's what his thing was.
Ah, oh, I didn't. All right.
Yep, well done.
Look at me go. Sorry, first I didn't off. Mean to yeah.
You don't doubt yourself. All right. You've got this. All right. Mike Brady and the Brady Bunch. Do you need an either or?
Let me think for a moment.
He had his own home office.
I think he was an architect.
He was an architect. That's right.
I remember him standing at a stand-up desk, which was not a thing in the 60s.
No, not at all.
All right. All right. Okay. I'm feeling more confident about this. It's growing.
100% got this.
All right. All right.
Michael from Arrested Development. So that's Michael. Jason Bateman.
Michael.
Do you need... This one's pretty easy. If I give you the either or, you're going to get it. Do you want it?
I think I need the either or.
Is he the CEO of their family's company or is he a real estate agent?
It depends at what point in the series.
Towards the end?
All right, I'll say he's CEO.
Yep.
It jumps around several times.
It does
times.
Jump around.
There are times when he fobs it off onto Job.
Yeah, true. There was that whole banana.
There's always money in the banana stand.
Banana stand. this one.
Good one.
This one is a mother.
All right.
This one's a mother. It's Lois from Malcolm in the Middle. I'm happy with like a vague. I'm happy with a vague, but would you prefer an either or?
I think I would prefer an either or.
Did she work at the local bakery or did she work at the chemist? Pharmacy, sorry.
Was it the pharmacy?
Yeah, she was a cashier at the pharmacy.
Yeah.
In my memory, in my mind, I was like, oh, she worked at the supermarket, but she didn't.
No, I had to think back then and I was like, I'm sure it was that. And then I thought if she was a baker, she'd be covered in flour.
All the time, and she never is. She's just covered in just exasperation. technically a parent, Ross Geller from Friends. Do you
I
need an
I know what he is. He was on a break.
He was totally on a break.
I'm just giving everyone at home some thinking time. No bones about it.
No bones about it. Because my other, like my my either or, the other option was archaeologist because I wanted something really close, but I knew you'd get it anyway. Oh, paleobotanist.
That's
very
what Laura
good.
Dern is in Jurassic Park.
And but not in the new show she's going to do. She's going to be a Palm Beach socialite. It's going to be great.
Mrs. American Pie. He's a paleontologist.
They're correct. And finally, very easy, low-hanging fruit, Danny Tanner from Full House. Isn't that show, like, wasn't it just constantly on television for 2 years on your television?
Do you think I paid attention?
All right, do you want the either or?
No. What I'm going to say is on Fuller House, he's retired. And that's the one that I paid more attention to.
I want the old one.
All right.
I want the original.
Was he a stand-up?
No. Do you remember he was with Aunt Becky on TV?
Oh, that's right. He's a morning host.
Yep. Morning host. It was something like Wake Up San Francisco or something like that.
Yeah. That's it. And he actually – That's what I'm remembering in Fuller House.
Yes.
He gets booted from the gig and he goes to an existential crisis.
Poor guy.
There we go. I can remember.
You did well.
It was only that last one that really got me stumped, and that was because I'm
and that was the one Saget. I was sure that you knew.
Oh, I've just seen too much Bob Saget stand up.
Yeah, that's true. Bob Saget, rest in peace. You did well. Very impressed. How will you go in next week's quiz? Only time will tell. Oh. But on that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Let's get dangerous.